So, another season, almost in the books.
About time. It's already too much for me to remember. What did we even do?
What did we... okay. Let me walk you through it.
Oh, please do.
Right, we kicked off season 4 with time travel.
And yet, we didn't travel back to fix any of our mistakes. A missed opportunity.
We did a Halloween special about Halloween specials.
Ooh, meta.
We rolled dice for cocktails over the holidays, which went better for some than others.
Fate is cruel and has no palate.
We built a 32-show classic sitcom bracket and spent 2 full episodes crowning the greatest sitcom of all time.
Which we were absolutely, of course, correct about, but we're not going to spoil that here. Go back and listen to it.
We covered the unwritten rules of friendship. Retro tech bites on the VCR, cameras and portable music players. I filed a solo dispatch about Disney World.
I still don't think the backstage group should have reimbursed you for that.
I was working. Let's see, we covered commercial jingles, and we tried to replace you with an AI version of yourself.
Jim Synthetic.
Who made a decent case for his own existence.
Meh.
And now we're about to close the season with an episode that came together from a text conversation about you not wanting to do a creative thing.
Which is either a new low or extremely on brand.
Yeah, I think it may be both. Either way, that's our season finale topic.
And that's our show.
Hello, once again, and welcome to That's Our Show.
Hello.
I'm Glenn.
And I'm Jim.
And together we are Glenn and Jim. Yeah. I guess, yeah. All right, so we threatened last month that might be our final episode, but we might have one more, so this is the one more.
Yeah, we got one more left. Although it kind of happened, it kind of happened by happenstance.
Happened by happenstance, yes. This kind of came out of a text conversation that Jim and I had last weekend.
Just this past weekend, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Jim had signed up for a 24-hour songwriting contest. I mean, did you actually sign up?
I did, yeah. You had to sign up in advance for this contest. A local radio station had this, and I'm not going to name names, but yes, you did have to register, I think, about a week in advance.
Okay, so you had registered for this and started working on it. And
No, I didn't start working on it immediately. We had to wait until it was a timed songwriting challenge. You had 24 hours to basically write, perform, and record a video of a performance of a song you've written within a 24-hour time period.
So I guess my question with that is, how would they know if you started earlier?
Well, yeah, honor system, except unless if they found that, you know, that there was a work that already existed out somewhere streaming or on social media that bore too strong a resemblance to what you were trying to submit.
Right. Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah.
So you started it at the allotted time to work on this, I assume.
Well, I started about a couple hours afterwards. So a prompt was announced on a Saturday at noon and basically you had till noon on Sunday to submit the link to the video that you completed. So,
okay, got you. So it was kind of like you couldn't really start in advance because you didn't know the prompt.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah.
So I didn't start right away because I was out somewhere. I had to wait for at least a couple hours until I got home to actually be able to start working on it. And I tried to do some things. I tried to see where the prompt would take me. I kind of knew there were certain directions I didn't want to take it in necessarily. And I was trying to figure out what I did want to do. And I kind of started out musically trying to think of what I felt from the theme or the topic. And I got a little bit of somewhere with that for a bit. But then I struggled with the idea of, okay, how do I marry this to a lyrical topic?
Right.
What do I want this to lyrically say in concert with the music I'm trying to build around it? And at one point I was almost thinking, could I do this as an instrumental? But I kind of wanted to. But given that 40% of the judging was based on the lyrics, that would not have probably been a very good choice.
Probably not, yeah.
So I think I started playing around with some lyrical ideas, but I just I wasn't getting anywhere with it. It just wasn't working for me. I felt like anything I was thinking of was something I felt like had already been done in a song I knew, and it just didn't feel like it was clicking for me. So I didn't really get much further than that. I think I wrote maybe a few lyrical lines, and then I pretty much gave up.
You tapped out.
I tapped out. I gave myself permission to quit.
Yes. So how far did you get with the music?
I had, well, I mean, considering there were no lyrics applied to it, I had maybe something of like a hook, a musical hook, and some, you know, some sort of a verse bridge structure kind of associated with it.
Right. So you kind of had like a skeleton there.
Maybe about half the skeleton of a song, perhaps. It could have possibly used one or two other sections to it. I did record that as a demo, so at least I could potentially use that for some future work.
Well, there you go. So at some point during this, this frustration and this tapping out, you texted me.
Yes.
I don't remember what the exact text was, but...
Nor do I. I think I just mentioned about the challenge and that I had become frustrated over feeling like I just didn't have what it took.
Right. But one of the things you had said was like, you felt like it shouldn't be a problem to be able to do this, but you were worried that you weren't willing to put the work in for it.
Yeah. I felt like certain aspects of putting together a song to me seem like from past experience that they should be, I won't say completely effortless, but somewhat easier to come by.
Right.
Again, just based on a past track record, I suppose. And this just wasn't happening. And part of it was a combination of feeling like, oh, why can't I do this? Another part of it was like, well, I've kind of been out of practice at this for quite a while. I used to be a much more prolific songwriter than I certainly have been in the last 5 or 10 years, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, at the same time, like, how many albums have you released in the last 40 years?
Three.
So it's not like you've had all these songs and all these. Anyway, my point on all that was, you know, when you texted me, I was kind of giving you a little pushback on that because, well, first of all, I think this was a slightly different set of skills than you would normally apply, because doing something at speed isn't the same as just doing it.
Sure. Yeah. You're absolutely right.
And I'm sure if you gave, you know, trying to think of like a really well-known songwriter, and of course nothing's popping into my head right now, but if you gave a musician 24 hours to do something, even if they're like a famous, well-known, great composer, they might not be able to do that in 24 hours.
Right. Maybe some can, but probably not many. And my approach to songwriting has been, you know, writing and rewriting and editing and all that kind of stuff. And that process can take me at least weeks or months, maybe longer, until I am at a point where I'm happy with it.
And then kind of after we had this conversation, I started thinking about how this applies to hobbies in general, because like the whole point of having a hobby is to enjoy it, right?
Sure. Yeah. What's the definition of a hobby?
Well, Merriam-Webster defines hobby as a pursuit outside of one's regular occupation engaged in especially for relaxation.
Yeah. That part at the end there about relaxation is kind of telling, because I think there are many hobbies that don't end up inherently being very relaxing.
Yeah. I mean, I think that can be true, but it's also, I mean, even the hobbies that aren't always relaxing, I think there's this overall sense of accomplishment, of enjoyment when you reach a certain goal.
Yeah. And to that point, if you get to a point where, say, you feel that you've become successful at something you do in your hobby, then it feels like you have to maintain that in your hobby.
Right.
You don't as easily give yourself permission to fail as much, because you feel like you set a standard or a bar for yourself, and you have to, in order to feel fulfilled, continue to be fulfilled by the hobby, maybe you feel like you have to maintain that standard.
Right. Which my argument is that that's hokum and bunk, if you will. I don't know why those particular terms just popped into my head, but Hokum and Bunk.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Hokum and Bunk, attorneys at law.
Let's rename the podcast.
That's our next one. Yeah. We'll talk about that later. But yeah, you've reached a certain level and you can kind of sort of expect yourself to continue performing at that level, but it's still not the point. The right. point is to do it because you like doing it.
You're absolutely right. Now with songwriting and music and performing, I've kind of straddled the line with how much of it is really purely a hobby versus how much of it has kind of become a semi-vocation, a side hustle, as it were.
Right. I mean, are you making money on it?
I have been.
Okay.
To be honest with you, not very much at all, right. but I have made money at these things.
Okay. Well, I mean, then I can kind of understand why you might want to pressure yourself a little more, but I don't know. I feel like failing in that is less about being able to perform at the same level constantly and more about performing at a level that satisfies you. Does that make any sense?
Say that one more time. I need to absorb that a minute.
The point is performing at a level that satisfies you, not obtaining what you would consider perfection.
In terms of a hobby or something more?
In terms of a hobby.
Yes, I definitely agree with you.
Yeah.
As a pure, unadulterated hobby, you should be setting the standard for what you consider fulfilling about it.
Why don't we take a break here and we'll come back and we'll talk more about, I think, hobbies in general and the feeling that you're obligated to do them after a certain amount of time.
Sounds like a plan.
Okay.
It's a great big rolling world that waits for a man to jump on. And if he's got hands and a heart that's willing and a thirst as big as the world, he lives every minute and loves every drop. He knows you only go around once in life. So he grabs for all the gusto he can, even in the beer he drinks. Why settle for less? When you're out of Schlitz, you're out of beer.
And we're back.
Way to draw that out.
Trying to kill time. I don't know if we can fill a whole episode with all this. All right. So we're talking about hobbies. Hobbies and the guilt spiral.
The guilt spiral.
The instrument sitting in the corner. The sketchbook on your desk that's empty. The unfinished story that you've written.
I know the blank canvas. I know that feeling.
Most hobbies require an initial monetary output.
Some more than others.
Some more than others, absolutely. So when you start spending the money and you start spending some time learning it, you start feeling obligated.
Yeah, you've made an investment into it and you probably want that investment to have some sort of a payoff.
Right. But the question then is, is the payoff the point, or is it the destination, or is it the journey?
Exactly. Basically? Yeah. Yeah. I think the healthier way to look at it would be it's the journey, because even if you do invest some time in something and then maybe you find, hey, I really hate doing this, at least you know.
Exactly.
Then it wasn't entirely time wasted.
I do think that a true hobby, it is about the journey.
Mm-hmm.
If you start to take it more seriously than that, I'm not sure what it is. There's something between avocation and vocation. That's, you know, like your music, I don't know what to call it, your music hobby, your music career, your music.
Whatever it is. It is what it is.
But I feel like that's something between there, because you've gotten to a point in there where it's a little more than a hobby.
Right. And I suspect that there's maybe a feeling of pressure about that, as far as kind of an increasing prevalency of turning a hobby into a side hustle.
Yeah, you're right. I do think that's like more of a thing now.
Yeah, in order to make it feel worthwhile to do that, to spend all that time on it.
But I feel like with a hobby, it should be more about just getting the experience of doing it. It's not about, like, a side hustle is a side hustle, a hobby is a hobby.
Mm-hmm.
And
in the purest sense, yes.
I guess your music is more of a side hustle now than a hobby to some extent.
It's kind of floating the line between the two, but it kind of feels like it's somewhere in between, I guess.
Yeah. But like, for example, podcasting for us.
Completely a hobby.
100%. and we'll get into that a little bit more later. But for a hobby, like, you can do it badly. You can do it slowly. You can do it inconsistently.
You can do it wherever, again, you, whenever you damn well please.
Exactly. I'm trying to think. So you also build like pedals and amps and stuff, right?
Yes, I do. Equipment, music, electronic equipment.
Right.
Guitar equipment.
So that, I think, is more of a hobby for you.
Absolutely. Yeah. I have no, at this point in time, I have no plans to try to turn that into a side hustle. That's not to say it couldn't happen someday or it couldn't evolve into something like that someday, but at least right. at this time, I'm doing it for me.
So I guess the question there is, let's say you went to put something together and you just couldn't get it to work. You bought the parts for it. You spent hours, days, weeks, months working on it. And no matter what you did, it wouldn't work.
Well, depending on how much I spent on the parts and kit and whatnot, I would probably feel motivated to try to get it to work.
And I'm sure you would. But motivated to get it to work and obligated to get it work to get it to work is kind of like there's a line there. And do yeah. you think you would cross the line into feeling obligated, or would you treat it as a hobby and be motivated? I mean, motivation's okay for a hobby.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, sure. If you there's no point in doing a hobby if you don't feel motivated to do it.
Exactly. But if you feel obligated to do it,
yeah,
is it? That's the question. Is that even a hobby?
That's the fine line. I think it also depends on your personality. If you are somebody who is very achievement oriented, who feels like I have to get this done in order to feel like it was worth doing, and are a little bit less accepting about it being an experiment,
right?
Then you might have a problem with it, or you might be more likely for it to become an obligation.
Yeah. And I do start to, like, you know, get that hyperfixation thing on certain things I do that I'm like, I must see this through to the end.
Me too. But and I think in my case, I feel like that's maybe overcoming character flaws from my childhood, if I can get a little little couch therapy in. Because I think as a kid, I felt like I had a tendency to want not necessarily be inclined to see things through. Like if it felt like it was getting too challenging or difficult, I would give up. So in some ways, I think I'm trying to overcome a perceived deficiency in my childhood development and prove to myself that I can finish things and complete things.
Right. And I can understand that. I feel I might have actually been more that way as a kid, where I felt like I had to prove myself. I remember when I was a little kid, I took up violin.
Okay.
I played violin for a few years.
And I'm learning this for the first time, folks.
My mother pretty much told me, and it's honesty, which I can always rely on my mother for, that I wasn't good.
Okay.
Now, of course, you want your mother to be going like, oh, it's so good and all of that and, you know, praising you for no good reason. But my mother didn't do that, and that's fine.
Okay.
But when she did tell me I wasn't good, I stuck to it more. I felt like I had to prove something at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So I think now I might be less inclined with my hobbies to be like, I must see this through.
Okay.
And then it's also like you get this pressure to continue producing. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I was doing like home brewing for years.
Right. That's right.
I bought all the equipment. I was brewing almost constantly. And then I found, particularly once I had a kid, that I had a lot less time and was less willing to put in the effort.
Yeah.
And while I would like to get back to that someday, I also don't, I'm not feeling like, oh my God, I wasted all this money on equipment and all this time. Like, it was a hobby.
Right. No major stakes involved, but you made some tasty beer.
And I made some pretty awful beer, too. Well, and that's okay.
Hey, it's a learning experience, right?
Yeah, yeah. And overall, I think I only ever completely spilled out one batch that was so bad. Oh, and then there was the batch that I accidentally spilled almost all of it out that was actually really good. You remember that?
And how'd that happen again?
That was, I was moving it from one vessel to another.
Mm-hmm.
And the valve on the vessel I was moving it to was open. It was thankfully sitting in a sink.
Yeah.
So everything went from, I guess it was the fermenter. I was filtering out the trub or something. I don't remember exactly why I was doing this. But yeah, I set it up with a siphon, started it off, walked away, came back. I'm like, what's that sound? It was the sound of all the beer going down the drain. That was, yes, have some.
Oh, that's right. Which I did.
Yeah.
But that's really unfortunate.
And I think I ended up with like, there were only like, what, one or two bottles of it in the end?
That was it?
I think that's all I had.
Oh, so sad.
It's like a coffee stout or something.
Yeah, yeah. That's exactly what it was.
Yeah. But anyway, I'm like, even with that, it's like, okay, well, now I have learned to make sure all my valves are closed if I'm going to be doing anything like that.
There you go.
Like, that is not a mistake I will make again. But I mean, it's a hobby. It's a learning experience. It's fun. It's supposed to be.
Right. Another example for me that is a pure hobby is photography.
Right.
Yes, I own a couple cameras, one or two cameras, and I have belonged to a club and I've taken classes. You know, read books about trying to improve photography skills, but I don't really put any pressure on myself to turn it into anything, to have to produce a certain amount or anything like that. I do it when I please.
Which is, yeah, pure hobby.
And I've certainly taken a bunch of crappy photos for sure.
Not me. All my photos are great.
And some hopefully decent ones.
I've seen decent ones that you've taken, I think. Yeah, I guess kind of what I'm learning here is that music for you is not necessarily a pure hobby.
No, not at this point.
But I think it is still definitely hobby adjacent.
Yeah.
And I think the pressure you were putting on yourself to perform in the 24 hours was, I mean, I don't want to say pointless, but not necessary.
There was a contest. There was a prize involved.
Well, yeah, which would have been nice, but
a tidy sum and some other extras.
Well, what the hell did you give up for?
Apparently wasn't worth it to me.
I'm kidding.
Because I'm just a hobbyist.
And that should be fine. And what I'm saying is that should be fine because I think you're still hobby adjacent enough with music that finding out that you're not a 24-hour contest musician is something new that you've learned.
Yeah.
And on that note.
B flat.
Is that what that was? Note. I don't know.
That'd be more like an F.
Damn you and your perfect pitch. All right, just for that, we're taking another break.
Fine.
At Duracell, the race to be the best, to be the king of the road, goes on and on. Which is why today's copper top battery lasts up to 30% longer than the ones we made just last year. Today's copper top from Duracell. The best a battery can be.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
Hope you enjoyed the commercial. I wasn't talking to you.
Oh.
I was talking to them.
Yes.
If there is anyone out there.
Oh, them.
Yes. So we kind of want to bring this full circle now and talk about this podcast.
Yeah, this is very much a hobby.
Yeah, which we said earlier. So that's kind of like the reason that occasionally, it happened a lot more last season than this season, but even this season, we just kind of missed an episode.
Well, yeah, because life got in the way.
Yeah, and we don't want to feel like we're obligated to do this.
Oh, good. See ya.
All right, so I'll finish this up. Jim's gone. So, I mean, we could be doing this, arguably, for our listeners, but
if we
the
have
truth
them.
Of the matter is we're doing it for ourselves.
Yeah.
And go ahead.
I'm doing it for you, Glenn.
Oh, thanks. I'm doing it for you, Jim. we rarely even check the numbers for our listeners. I'm not even sure that I've checked them within the last like year or two on this.
And if you're not checking them, I'm definitely not checking them.
Yeah, I don't even think you can. I don't think you can access them.
Okay, well, good reason not to check.
I mean,
check
if
them.
You're out, if you're out there and you are listening, thank you, because we do certainly appreciate it. If anybody enjoys hearing us babble, I don't really know why, but
you're a saint, whoever you are.
Yes. And hey, send us some feedback. We'd always love to hear from you. What the heck's our email address? show@backstage.link.
Here's feedback. Get rid of that other guy.
Wait, who's that feedback to? That's the question.
Yes.
Anyway, the hypothetical listening audience, I'm talking to you now, not you, Jim, you, the listener. It gives us somebody to talk to.
Or at,
I guess. But it's not the reason that we're doing it.
You're not the reason.
Sorry, but it's true, you're not. And the other interesting thing is our podcasting career, whatever, has its roots in a completely different hobby.
Right.
When we started the Backstage Show, which we've talked about several times over the years, that was our...
Even though we said we weren't going to.
Yeah, I know. Rule one, don't talk about the Backstage Show. So about the Backstage Show. So that has its roots in community theater, and that is also, as you may know, where Jim and I met. But Jim has, would you say you've completely moved on from community theater?
Yeah, at this point, I would say
okay,
that.
Okay, so Jim, I continue to do it, but Jim has completely moved on, which is fine, because that was a hobby.
Yes.
And you can stop doing your hobbies.
Yes.
Or you can continue doing them. You can do 24-hour contests, and if you don't like them, you cannot do 24-hour contests.
I feel like I do have a knack sometimes for choosing hobbies, or I have had a knack sometimes for choosing hobbies that definitely felt a lot like work.
Yeah.
And an obligation.
I mean, I certainly have done that myself and have tried at times to turn some of them into side hustles, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I did web design for a time and had like, you know, two clients.
Mm-hmm.
I've done graphic design.
Well, community theater actually is an excellent example of it, because that's a scenario where if you go in and do it and you become part of a production, then mm-hmm. it is an obligation because other people are depending upon you to do something.
That is true. Yeah, that's actually a good point.
You know?
But it's still a hobby.
It is, but it's a hobby with somewhat greater stakes, I would say, than others that you could choose.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's the fact that it's not a solo hobby.
Yes, that's a big part of it.
I guess it's like if you were playing a sport as a hobby and you're on a team, well, that team's counting on you.
Sure, same kind of situation.
Yeah, I mean... I'm trying to think of something equivalent to the obligation of theater, and I can't. Because if you're playing a sport and you miss one game, it's not the end of the world.
Well, if you play in a band on the side and you miss a gig, then that could be a little bit much like theater.
I think it's performance more than anything else. Performance-based hobbies.
Something that,
done with groups.
Something with a group setting that requires you to do something at a certain time. Like something that is regularly scheduled where you have to show up and do your thing and you can't just sit it out.
And other people are involved.
And other people are involved, yes.
Although that kind of leaves out the sporting thing, though, because it sounds like it should include it. Well, but I know like my kid has been in soccer leagues and stuff and people miss games all the time.
Well, yeah, sports, it's a little bit more built around the ability to substitute people.
Yes. That is true.
A play, not so much, because there's usually only one person cast in each role with no understudies.
And interestingly, professional theater, if it's your job and not your hobby, there usually are understudies.
Go figure. Well, because the show must go on and they don't want to take any chances.
But even in community theater, the show must go on. And I've had circumstances where people have had to miss shows.
Right.
I mean, haven't you had that too?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I had to fill in for somebody who had to miss a show that I directed.
Right.
So it does happen.
Which you also wrote the music for.
Yeah. Bring it all back around
full
circle.
So this, I guess, leads us to discuss this podcast in a little more detail, because our hobby focus, as far as this podcast is concerned and podcasting in general, has kind of shifted. So we do intend to come back with season 5.
Oh, whew.
But it's probably going to be our last season.
Yeah, we've had some conversations, obviously not on the air, leading up to this point, and we know that there are other projects that we've discussed wanting to get involved with that, given, you know, limitations on our time and what times we have available to spend creative pursuits and work on them together, mm-hmm. that I think we're, certainly I was feeling this way, and I think maybe you're also heading this way, that we would like to shift what we're doing into what we've been talking about with more of our scripted work.
Right. And I believe we mentioned this in a previous episode. We talked directly about audio on radio theater.
Yeah.
So that is where we intend to put our efforts. We're going to kind of start shifting to that as we do season 5 with this show. I don't know. We might just switch to a whenever we feel like it release schedule for next season.
Yeah, we'll see. Rather than hold to the full one a month full episode and one a month mini-sode.
Yeah. And I mean, we'll still throw stuff, mini-sodes and things like that out there, just because either one of us can record those on our own, as I had with the one 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, whatever it was, earlier this month. Sorry. Glenn had a solo episode. So yeah, that's where we are. We're going to be shifting there. We're still going to be here at least for one more season. Who knows what the future will exactly hold? Hopefully it will hold.
Our schedule, our topics may be somewhat less predictable.
Yes. But, you know, we're still at it. We're not going anywhere entirely. This is, of course, our hobby. And if podcast listening is your hobby and you're listening to ours, thank you. So I guess that wraps up the season, doesn't it?
Yeah. Four down. Ooh.
Four down.
And one to go.
To go, I guess. I don't know. Something like that. Anyway, as far as this episode and this season and whatever else we're doing in the future, that's our show, was brought to you by the Backstage Group.
Engineered by Jim Balsarek and edited by Glenn Reed.
As always, you can find us online at show.backstage.link or email us at show@backstage.link. And also, you can always go just directly to backstage.link. And there are links to this podcast, our previous deceased podcasts, and there will be links to our podcasts to come. So if you ever want to just keep up with whatever the hell Jim and I are doing, backstage.link is your answer.
How convenient.
Yes.
Please give us a rating wherever you listen to That's Our Show or whatever else we're doing, and spread the word by telling your friends to listen.
And this, of course, as we said, is our final episode of season 4.
But you can join us again in the fall for season 5.
Thinking maybe late fall. Maybe we could open it with a Halloween special like we did last season.
If we don't feel obligated to do that.
True. But whatever. We can figure it out later. But for now,
that's our show.
I am now recording.
Okay. Likewise.
But I mean, yeah, the hypothetical listener. Oh no. Damn it. It was synced up on my end. I'm sorry. Let's do it one more time.
Ready?
Yes.
That's our show. Gold.